and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face. Social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. And today is the 19th of October. And at least it's not boring. Things just keep getting stranger and weirder all the time. But for researchers, it's not strange at all because we understand what's going on. Why it's going on, what the outcome they want is. We apparently had a national tragedy in the death of Gord Downie, lead singer for the tragically hip Canadian band. And my condolences to his family and his friends. I think he was only 53, if I'm not mistaken. But when I saw the headline of the Prime Minister, Tinkerbell Trudeau, choking back tears that Downie was his great friend and yada, 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 you know something's terribly amiss. And so, you know, I read some of this stuff and I watched the video of Trudeau, who couldn't get through his message. He broke down and cried. And he's a drama teacher and a snowboard instructor and a high school teacher, which I guess somehow qualifies one to run a country. Not. Anyways, what he said was that Downie cared deeply about his country, Trudeau says. And Trudeau goes on to say, we are less of a country without Gord Downie in it. Now, that's a bit of a stretch. People die every day. It's part of life. Some die young and some die old, but we all die. So this is quite a stretch of a message saying that we are less of a country without Gord Downie in it. So, but I've been reading, you know, quite a bit lately about Canada becoming or being the first post-national state. Well, we know what the UN globalist internationalists want, and they want the the end of nation states, which is a post-national state. Now, we have this big problem in the West with the word nationalist, which everybody, at least the media and the indoctrinated clowns that went through school and especially university, that nationalism is akin to Nazism and white supremacy. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth, but when you're trying to end nation states, the last thing you want is the people in the nation to be nationalistic, because they will stand up and say, you want us to do what? Hand over our nation to you bozos, the guys that started all the wars? So that's why the word nation or nationalist has got such a bad rap. And we have to overcome that, because either you're a nationalist or you're an internationalist. And if you're an internationalist, you want the demise of the nation. Well, if you want the demise of your nation, then that makes you a traitor. Then you should be hung. That is, in the past, at least, that was the sentence for treason. You were hung because you were a traitor. So Trudeau's going on saying we are less of a country without Gord Downie in it, and Downie cared deeply about his country. Now remember that. That's coming out of the PM's mouth. And I want to thank all those people on Facebook, because I'm out of 3 weeks, I'm only free for 4 days. And I don't get back out of my lockdown until the 28th. I can post to my own Facebook. I can post to a few sites that I'm an administrator on. But other than that, I really can't post comments. I can't share my posts with other pages. It makes it very difficult to get any news out. But I want to thank the people who did as I asked, and that was to pass this along, and they did a good job of it. Since I put this up about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I've been running about, well, over 1,000 views an hour, which is reasonable. But anyways, I'm just gonna read what I wrote here, because people don't get it. They don't get it in the West. They just don't get it. But then you've been spoon-fed bullshit since the day you were born. So when you're choking on the bullshit, it's hard to deal with anything else, like reality, maybe. So this is all I wrote. What a load of shit from the Queen's Prime Minister. And it is the Queen's Prime Minister, not our Prime Minister. It's the Queen's Prime Minister. The Queen is the head of state, and the Prime Minister is her Prime Minister. And Canada is a corporation, which makes the Prime Minister the CEO of one of the Queen's businesses. But then the Queen, or the royal family, is under the Vatican. So the Prime Minister is really the Vatican's, or the Pope's, bum boy, if you will. We as a nation must demand Trudeau be subjected to a mental assessment to prove he is insane, which won't take much. On the one hand, Trudeau cries at the passing of Gord Downie, saying Downie cared deeply about his country, and we are less of a country without Gord Downie in it. But on the other hand, Trudeau says Canada is the first post-national state, meaning Trudeau doesn't give a shit about his country, meaning we are less of a country with Trudeau in it, Trudeau must be removed from office now. I suggest a campaign to alert the Queen that her prime minister is insane and not fit for office. Of course, he's just doing what he's told to do, but it'll be fun to flood the Queen's office with some indignant letters. So this is from the New York Times 2015, and it's a quote from that story. Trudeau's most radical argument is that Canada is becoming a new kind of state, defined not by its European history, but by the multiplicity of its identities from all over the world. His embrace of a pan-cultural heritage makes him an avatar of his father's vision, who was a Jesuit-trained communist. There is no core identity. There is no mainstream in Canada, he claimed. There are shared values, openness, respect, compassion, willingness to work hard, to be there for each other, to search for equality and justice. Those qualities are what makes us the first post-national state. Now, post-nationalism is defined, post-nationalism or non-nationalism is the process or trend by which nation-states and national identities lose their importance relative to cross-nation and self-organized or supranational and global entities. And that's exactly the plan of the globalists. And the plan is that they will control all resources in all nations, and they will decide what you eat, where you live, how much electricity, how much water you get, and so on and so forth. And we have got to come to terms with this. Now, people are bellyaching here about Trudeau, but they don't understand. Okay, I don't know why they don't understand. It's too simple, but I guess they've been playing the right-left game so long, they're mesmerized by it. But, you know, Trudeau is saying this: the qualities that make us the first post-national state. Well, we have a problem with this because no one has the authority to hand our nation over to somebody else. Apparently, he thinks he does. But then you got to go back to 2010 at the G20 meeting, where conservative leader, but it's not conservative, it's progressive conservative, which is liberal, stood at the podium at the G20. And the amazing thing was that this was at a media scrum. And at no point, nowhere in this entire nation were his words ever relayed to the public. And his words went like this. This, referring to the G20 meeting of globalist money men, this is a loss of national sovereignty. He went on to say some people don't like it, but it's a simple reality. Now, that's treason. And it was never reported by any media anywhere. Now, we still have people going, oh, Harper was the best prime minister Canada ever had. Are you an idiot or what? Now, CBC called me, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation of Canada, of which all members of Canada, all working people, pay for. And it's nothing more than a globalist propaganda media, but then all the other media's jumped on board. And but when CBC called me looking for videos or looking for a particular video they found on my YouTube that they wanted to use in a, you know, a get to the heart of the matter G20 special Fifth Estate or whatever the hell it was they were going to do. And I mentioned this video to them. I said, I didn't make the video you're looking for, but I know who did. And we can get you the rights to the video. But for me to help you get that video you want, which has nothing whatsoever to do with the G20, because they said they were going to do a serious piece on the G20, but the video they wanted was a bunch of people sitting on a roadway singing "Oh Canada" with their backs to a line of riot cops dressed with their shields and their clubs and their helmets and all the rest of the nonsense. And the second that those people stopped singing "Oh Canada," they were run over from behind by these riot cops. And I explained to CBC that has nothing whatsoever to do with the G20. In fact, no coverage of the G20 had anything to do with the G20. So if you're going to do a serious piece, let's do it. So I will get you that video if you include this video. And they go, what else you got? They were all excited as hell. What else you got? And I said, I have the video of Prime Minister Harper stating that this, the G20, is a loss of national sovereignty. And CBC, not unexpectedly, of course, goes, oh, that. Yeah, that. And they went, that was unfortunate, but we wouldn't be interested in that. Well, of course you wouldn't. Why would you want to alert the people of the nation that the prime minister just stated that we've lost our national sovereignty? So there is no media, period. Well, there's media, but it's Marxist media, it's globalist media, it's international media, and it's all lies. So after Harper, we have Tinkerbell Trudeau, who claims that Canada is now the first post-national state, while he's that was in 2015, but in 2017, he's standing in front of a camera, you know, spewing alligator tears, saying that Gord Downie loved his country and that the country won't be the same, will be less without Gord Downie in it. Well, it'll be much less, I guess. Because in 2015, you stated that Canada is the first post-national state. So we've been handed over to the internationalists. And you wonder why we're being overrun with migrants. You wonder why, how is it possible that Canada has partnered with the United Nations Refugee Agency and George Soros and his Open Society foundations. Now, George Soros, there's an old video, you can look it up. George Soros takes down, I think it was the Philippines back in the day. And that from outside, he basically destroyed the nation, pulling the money strings. Now, the interesting thing about that video is that Soros agrees he did it, but he doesn't feel any remorse about it, because it was an amoral act. That's how he described it. It was amoral what he did. And because it was amoral, you feel there's no feelings about it. And what the United Nations and the globalists and the internationals are, is they are all amoral. Now, you know they're amoral because they started two world wars and killed hundreds of millions of people. They destroyed the economies to get what they wanted. It was an international governance body and a state of Israel. World War I didn't work out for them, because even though President Wilson was the go-to guy to get the Fed instituted over Christmas when nobody was around, these same Jews that people say aren't Jews, synagogue of Satan who set up the Fed, are the same ones that went to Wilson and they fired up the war in order, it had to be a big war, so that people wouldn't want war anymore. They would want peace. And the idea of the First World War was to do exactly that. Freak the world out so that they would want peace. In other words, that they would sign on to the League of Nations. The idea of the First World War was to create the League of Nations and the State of Israel. Failed on both counts. The Jews didn't like the place that was offered to them, which was somewhere in North Africa. And America wouldn't sign on to the League of Nations because those people, because the public school system hadn't got a hold of the kids yet. And the history, just like with the indigenous people, was passed down generation to generation to generation. So the American people still understood why the hell they fought the War of Independence. And they were in no mood to sign anything that might give up some of their independence or some of their sovereignty. So Wilson ends up running around all over the country trying to convince Americans that they need to sign on to the League of Nations. And he went so far as to warn the people that if they didn't sign on to the League of Nations, that in a not too distant future, there would be another major war. And that's the amoral SOBs that started the First World War, telling Wilson, you get the signature, you get this signed on to, or we're going to do it again. Wilson couldn't get them to sign on, the American people. And so not too far down the road, here we go again. Big Depression, big war. Another Second World War, State of Israel was created, and the United Nations. These are the most amoral SOBs that ever landed on the planet. They never show remorse. Have you ever seen a leader show remorse from a war or a depression? No, because these are amoral acts. And the war, good versus evil, continues to this day. And these amoral SOBs are very close to their goal line. And I've said so many times before, when you research this out, two things have to fall. Two things have to be made to disappear. One, the American Constitution. Two, Christianity. Now, they've pretty much, I think it was George Bush that said it'd be a lot easier with just a dictator, and he referred to the American Constitution as just a damn piece of paper. The Christian churches the so-called Christian churches, which they're not, because they're incorporated churches. Therefore, they can't be Christian churches, because it says in the Bible that God has no respect for persons, and we're to have no respect for persons, yet we allowed ourselves to be incorporated, our towns, our cities, our countries, ourselves. So now we're persons. And we're not supposed to have respect for persons. And maybe that's why we just follow along with all this propaganda, because maybe its problem is we don't have any respect for ourselves. Been totally hoodwinked by these amoral criminals. And we got to break free from them. We're watching revisionist history take place right in front of our frickin' eyes. Everything that was is being disappeared and being replaced with something that is very repugnant to us. And yet we just stand and sit and watch the TVs and go to the ball games and whine and bitch about left and right. I don't know what it's going to take when you have the Prime Minister of Canada stating in 2015 that this is the first post-national state. You've lost control of your nation. And his statement is a statement of high treason. As the leader of a nation, the leader of a nation's job is to keep people alerted to what's going on, to make sure that if there's a threat to the nation, that it be stomped out immediately. Yet the leaders of the nations of the West are implementing these amoral agendas which remove our nation's rights. And that is high treason. And high treason can only be properly dealt with a rope. In the public square, or a firing squad in the public square, witnessed by those who've been harmed by these treasonous activities. So the idea of writing the Queen is actually quite good, to alert the Queen that we're onto the game. Now, the Queen isn't real, of course. The Queen is a fictional character, but the Queen is at the apex of the political and corporate, or the political and the legal systems, which are both corporate. The Queen is a corporate entity, a business. And in discussions with the Attorney General's Office of Ontario, it was agreed that Canada is nothing more than a rebranded Hudson's Bay Company, and that we never left the feudal system. Cha-ching. So we have some serious problems to deal with, and they must be dealt with. Now, Gord Downie was getting all this praise for working with the Indigenous people. Now, his brother, Mike, now I'm just starting to look into Mike here a little bit. Now, Mike had made a documentary or something, I forget what the hell the name of it is right now. But this brought Gord, and I guess he did an album about Indigenous people or something. They did a couple of songs that I heard on the radio, which weren't too bad. But other than that, I never paid no attention to the hip. But Gordon Downie, he started looking more New Age all the time. And that's a bad sign. But got involved with this indigenous thing and pushing for indigenous rights and I forget what that word is too, but anyways, to get the native people what they deserve, basically. And this is where we have now the government handing over huge chunks of the land to the natives, including the land that the Parliament building sits on. But these lands are not being given to the natives for the natives' use or the natives' benefit. These lands are being given to the natives so the natives will be put in a position so the globalists can get their paws on the resources and that, and have the natives sell the land straight out to them. So whether Gord knew what he was involved in or not, I'm not sure. I haven't had time to really look into it really deep, but Gord Downie was given the Order of Canada because of his efforts with the indigenous people. Now, Paul Martin is involved in that. The United Nations involved with that. The Idle No More came straight out of the United Nations. It can be traced back to the United Nations. And the funny part of the United Nations, people say, oh, well, you know, the United Nations human rights, universal human rights, that's so important. Really? Really? Go look up human being, pick up Wikipedia, and you go down through there and you will see a definition of human by the United Nations, which you can say was set up by the Jews who aren't Jews and whatever else they call it. But the definition of a human through the United Nations is an animal. So you think, oh, these are our human rights. Well, only if you consider yourself an animal, of which the Jews, Judaism, Talmud, considers you an animal. You are the goy. You are the one is to serve them. And we've been serving them for a very, very long time. And it's time we stop doing shit like that. You know? You would think the people, especially the people that go to churches, you know, although I don't think the churches spend much time on that particular incident. They always, you know, they're always pushing, turn the other cheek. Even when I was, when I grew up in a church, and I don't recall a preacher ever bringing up, the fact that Jesus got right pissed off and went after the money changers, which led to his eventual death. But it's I don't care if you call them Jews or the Jews that aren't Jews or the Ashkenazi Jews or whatever the hell you want to call them. This is a very evil bunch of people. Now, when people think about universal human rights, they think, oh, well, look at that. This global governance thing is going to protect our human rights. Well, you're an animal and you're described as an animal. And the Jews describe you as an animal, not a man. God created man and gave him law. The deceivers created humans and legal. And they have control over what they created. And they convinced you that legal is law. And they convinced you that you're a human, not a man. So when they send a bunch of animals off to be slaughtered, why show any remorse? Their job is to serve us. And we got to stop doing that ASAP. Now, the funny thing about Gord Downie and this indigenous thing he was up to, I don't know if he ever did any research on it or not, but the universal human rights, there's three different ones. There's the universal human rights, and there's the UN indigenous rights, human rights, and there is the Islam rights. So there's a problem here. If it's universal human rights, then how do we have indigenous human rights, and how do we have Islamic human rights? Okay? These are the deceivers working again. And you don't read this in your media. You don't see it on your TV shows. You don't see it in the movies, okay? Because they're busy distracting you with all those things when they're working away in the background. But thankfully, they write everything down. So this is, again, a divide and conquer game that's going on, that we owe somehow the indigenous certain things because we did some nasty things to them. We didn't do anything nasty to them. The same amoral assholes that messed up the indigenous people are the same assholes that are messing you up presently. And people got to deal with that. So, you know, take a look into Mike Downie and the work he did, and his documentary and that, if you want. But wrap your head around a little bit. Nobody gets inducted or given the honor of the Order of Canada unless they're moving agendas forward. Now, you can go look it up, and you start searching these people down, and you will find that these people, whether they realize it or not, are helping to move a program forward. And that's why they get the Order of Canada. Now, the Order of Canada is a company present, I guess, for your efforts. You do good when you're working for a company, they give you something special. And that's all the Order of Canada is. Now, if you look up, what time is it here? Well, we've got a couple minutes left to deal with a little bit of this stuff, but I just want now, if you want to look at what I wrote, you can just go to Rock the Boat Radio on Facebook, and you will get it. There's an awful pile of comments in there. A lot of them really don't even deal with what I wrote. It's just the old Trudeau's an idiot. Trudeau's just doing what he's supposed to do, what he's told to do. And it really bothers me when people start calling politicians idiots because they don't get the drift yet. Not the politicians is the idiots. We're the idiots. Okay, make no bones about it. We are the idiots. And we, you know, throw comments, childish little comments. But what is it I'm looking for here? List of, okay, this is the top-notch guys, right? The list of companions of the Order of Canada. This is the upper echelon. Companions of the Order of Canada, the highest level of the Order of Canada, have demonstrated the highest degree of merit to Canada and humanity. On the national or international scene, up to 15 companions are appointed each year, with a limit of 165 living companions at any given time. Companions are entitled to use the post normal CC as of December 1st, 2016, there were 142 living companions, including three honorary. This list shows all of the companions in alphabetical order, both living and deceased. Well, number one on the list, because it's alphabetical, well, that's not true either. That's not true. The very first one on the list, who was an honorary appointment in October of 2004, investiture date June 2005, is the Aga Khan. This is the gentleman who is friends with the Queen, the Saudis. Trudeau spent Christmas on his private island. The Aga Khan puts money into the Trudeau Foundation. And it's alphabetical except for the very first one. We have the Aga Khan, which starts with an A, but then the next one down says John Black Arid, which is, and then Lincoln Alexander, and so on and so forth. So, the last name is in the list starts with A, and they start with the first name, but the very first one, the Aga Khan, which starts with an A, but is Khan, should not be at the top, but it is. And I'm going to throw this list into the chat, and anybody that's just listening, you just look up the list of companions of the Order of Canada. And the Aga Khan, which is a world player, who's a Ismaili Muslim, made top on the list here. We have David Suzuki, and we've got some prime ministers in here, and you can trace so many of these names, or an awful pile of these names, especially in the political realm, are members of the UNPA, which is United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, and they are of all parties, right, left, and in between. And this is why these people are put in these positions. These are the people that are played up as great Canadians or great internationalists working with Canada. But in fact, these are the people, the vast majority of them should have been hung from a rope years ago. But that's not the way it works. So this is what is this one? This is the list of companions of the Order of Canada. We have David Suzuki in there. We've got Maurice Strong in there. I mean, we got some of the most deceitful SOBs that ever walked the planet pushing the international agendas, which is, again, goal, end of nation states, goal, end of private property, goal, end of private transportation. I mean, what's it take to piss you off? I mean, something's got to piss you off at some point. So you can look up that, and you can look up the Order of Canada, too, because there's a pile of names in that. And if you look at them and understand, you can put in United Nations, you can put in UNESCO, you can put in, you know, WHO, World Bank, you put it, just attach stuff to their names and see what these clowns are up to. And Gord Downie is an entertainer. Neil Young's an entertainer. But Neil Young is up to his ass in the globalist agenda, working a lot with David Suzuki, who is an out-and-out criminal, who would like you all dead. So, you know, just because you were brought up, and I was a big Neil Young fan, you know, because he came on the scene just when I was becoming a teenager. And we all got all caught up in that movement, which was false and constructed. And on it goes. So you can look that stuff up. Today, I'm a little bit ticked off because I didn't know about it. Okay. Here, I'm going to put these two links in here. Where's that other one from Downey? Maybe this one's better. In 2012, Gord Downey told CBC, that's the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, that I love this country. I love my idea of this country. This is the magic of nationalism, to wrap you up in a warm, glowing blanket. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that Downey, these are probably his real thought processes. I don't think Downey knew a lot about what's going on. But once he got caught up in the indigenous thing, then he became an international mouthpiece for the United Nations, whether he realized it or not. And that is what his last tour was about. That is, it's pushing that stuff. You tie up the PM with this and you got yourself a problem. But there's some information in here. The Prime Minister was signed signaled out for reconciliation is an especially great example of the disconnect between Trudeau and the idea and Justin the man. Trudeau and Indigenous Affairs Minister Bennett have both enthused that Canada would fully embrace the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights of Indigenous People, known as the UN DRIP, the UNDRIP. But in July, Justice Minister Jody Wilson Raybould told the Assembly of the First Nations that the simplistic approach, such as adopting the United Nations Declaration as being Canadian law, are unworkable and respectful of political distraction to undertake that hard work actually required to implement it back home in the communities. That's global to local, okay? Taking the global agenda and institute it locally to make it law. That's how this shit works. Now, Jody Wilson Raybould she was the Chief Justice, but she is huge in the international law being put together by the United Nations. So that's a treasonous dog as well. So I'm going to throw this in here. You can go through it. You have to understand what you're reading. And I think that's the biggest problem we have. People don't understand what the hell they're reading. You know, you can't just read stuff. You got to go and search these names out in the stories that you're reading. Because if you don't search out these names and attach it to whatever, usually something globalist, something UN or the Rockefeller Foundation, an awful pile of stuff, people show up having been involved with that, foreign affairs, whatever. You got to understand what it is that these people are up to. As simple as that. You just have to. Because otherwise, you know, you're just running on ignorance. And as I put in a comment to a lady last night. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is, in fact, damn dangerous. And we see what's happening in the West. And most of that has come about because we have been ignorant to what's going on. So I'm going to throw this in the chat. If I can find it. You know, I'm thinking that maybe Danny, I don't know. He could have been. I don't know if he was at these Wii deals or what. You know, whether he is a full-fledged globalist or someone that just got caught up in this, as so many entertainers do. It's the entertainment. That's how they sell you this stuff, through entertainment. You know, I mean, if you go back in the late 60s, early 70s, I mean, how many of these bands were singing about Mother Earth? All kinds of them. Where did they come up with that? How come all of a sudden they're singing about Mother Earth? Okay? They push the program. The entertainers push the programs. Just the way it is. Just like the politicians. Just like the media. Okay? And all of this stuff is controlled by these amoral a-holes that really have been running the world for a very long time. They're just coming in for the kill now. They're coming in for the final shot at us. And we can beat them back. We can get rid of them. We can hang on to our nations. I mean, how can you be a free people if you have no nation? Doesn't make any sense. You know, entertain, when you look up entertain in etymology, what you find is to keep up, maintain, to keep someone in a certain frame of mind, okay? And that's just like the word suggest, to keep someone in a certain frame of mind. And to hold together, stick together, support each other. These are the propagandists. These are the deceivers. So they're entertaining you. You know, like when I used to tell people, I said, you know that movie we just watched? You know what that's telling you? And I would explain it to them, and they get all pissy, and they go, oh, don't ruin the movie for us, right? You know, that's all just that weird shit. And I don't know where you're getting that out of the movie. It's just entertainment. Well, surprise, surprise. Entertainment is to keep someone in a certain frame of mind. You know? And that's what they do. They put you in a frame of mind and they keep you there until they get you where they want you. And then it all becomes normalized and on to the next move as they move incrementally to put the rope around our necks. Well, we need to smarten up and move the rope. Now, to close this show out, I should go get that other thing here. I'll put this into the Order of the Companion of the Order of Canada. I'll throw that in the chat as well. If you're just listening, you can just look it up, and you'll get everything you need there. There's so much deceit, you know. The deception is rampant. Anyways, just to close the show out tonight, my good friend, I didn't know this today. We missed, they were having a motion, they put a motion in to have their case dismissed because of delays. And you're supposed to have your, from start to finish, from the time the charges are laid till the finish is supposed to be no more longer than 18 months. Well, this ran out almost 2 years, and it was 2 years and October. It was about 2 years. And so they put a motion forward. Now, I didn't get there on Tuesday. I think they heard the motion. I don't know what happened there. And I didn't see anything up on Michael's site, so I figured they just said, screw off, we're not dealing with it. So I had no idea that today was the judgment day on this case. And the local news here says Durham area raw milk advocate guilty of obstructing a peace officer. Now, we spent a lot of time in court with these guys. This is when I got my shoulder ratched on July the 7th in the courtroom. And, you know, the only two out of the five that they got into the court was Michael Schmidt and John Schnurr. Enos Martin, they didn't want nothing to do with because he's presently suing the police civilly. For actions and damage they did to him. And George, well, they knew exactly where they lived. They didn't go and give him the warrant. And another gentleman who is also was involved in the sheep case, they didn't really want nothing to do with him either. So they dismissed those charges but and went after Michael and John Schnurr. Now, I told John Schnurr the last time I was at the court, and I was helping him rebuild a house that he's working on, that he would not be convicted. And he said, no, I will be convicted. And I said, no, you won't, because they only want one guy, and that's Michael. And you will make it difficult if they convict you, because then we have different reasons for appeals. So you're not going to get convicted, Michael will. So today, October the 19th, Michael Schmidt was convicted or found guilty of obstructing a peace officer. Now, this is a very short story. The charges related to a raid on Schmidt's farm October 2015, so that's 2 years ago, by provincial officials gathering evidence of Smith's raw milk operation. The raid resulted in a standoff with about 70 people, 70 Smith's supporters blocking the farm driveway and not allowing a cube van containing evidence to leave. So here's what they say he was convicted on. Schmidt was convicted of instigating the obstruction. Well, that's ridiculous. And then Michael goes on to say to a reporter outside the courthouse today, saying, I am basically the controlling mind of 70 people. I wish I would be so powerful, but I'm not, said Schmidt in an interview outside the Waterloo courthouse. At Schmidt's request, judge, I'm a total retard, Menard, postponed sentencing until November the 8th. His co-accused, John Schnurr, of Georgian Bluffs, was found not guilty of the same charge. So this is some more nonsense going on by the amoral a-holes that call themselves the legal system and confuse the words legal and law to get you convinced that legal means law when they have nothing whatsoever to do with one another. These are the Jews who are not Jews, but it's the synagogue of Satan, really, because if you look up adversarial, or adversarial, and the legal system is adversarial, you will find the word Satan. We're out of time. Take care, buddy. Keep digging. Selling lies and buying time. And killing people, watching live. Lower class and social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from war, sick from air. Making money, they don't get. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them.